Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Follow us at danprofshow.com. Our friend Joel Kotkin, writing over at Tablet Magazine, begins a piece on urban centers in America, writing, "On the surface, progressive blue America, quote unquote, has never appeared stronger. But what lurks just below the surface? Do we have a so-called blue-icide going on?" Similar to what we talked about with David French as it pertains to the cultural elites in the context of the cancel culture, the Barry Weiss story in particular, earlier in the show. Well, Carmen Best, you may remember her during the whole Chop Chaz saga. She is the police chief in Seattle. She's a black female. And it's worth noting in this context because, unfortunately, everything has to be discussed through a racial lens in order to address those who are demanding we discuss everything through a racial lens. So here's what she had to say on the occasion that her city's city council voted to cut the Seattle Police Department budget by 50%.
Well, the easy answer is yes. We will be much less safe if they take 50% of the cops off the streets. They don't have a plan that I've heard. To do anything to maintain public safety in the meantime. I find this decision by the seven members of our city council to be incredibly reckless and not taking into account the public safety of the other 750,000 people who live here in Seattle. Yeah.
No, those are just ancillary issues. She may find it to be incredibly reckless, but she can find it surprising. She just had a city government that turned over a police precinct to the mob. I mean, can we dispense with the facade of incredulity, please? For more on this, we're pleased to be joined by the aforesaid Joel Kotkin. He's a presidential fellow in urban futures at Chapman University, the executive director of the Urban Reform Institute, and the author of a must-read book, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism. I wish it was neo-federalism, but it's neo-feudalism, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism. Joel Kotkin, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So on the surface, progressive blue America has never appeared stronger, but it doesn't feel strong when you hear the Seattle police chief, her comments about the budget cuts.
Well, this is what's going to be really interesting. I mean, I think in the short run, and I think a lot of the blame, you know, is the pandemic, and, you know, Trump certainly is, not showering himself with great allure in terms of his being particularly successful. But I think what is really happening is, yes, the blues are I think the blue states may have a resurgence politically, but as a model of governance, it's not very successful. You know, for years in the urban space, for instance, people would always say, "Oh, well, you want to be like Portland or Seattle or San Francisco." Really? Take a look at those cities today. Now, these are beautiful cities with incredible economic strength in terms of the companies located there. They've always been able to attract well-educated people, and yet they're all falling apart. So something isn't working. Even people in those cities are now moving to other regions or going to the suburbs. So the problem with the blue state model is it doesn't work. It sounds good. It can be marketed very successfully. It has the overwhelming support of the media because that's where the media is concentrated. But regular human beings, let's say if you drive through downtown Los Angeles, for example, and everywhere you look, there are homeless people and the shuttered stores and clearly this is a society that is not exactly thriving. People will take that lesson home. Now, what happens is middle-class people don't riot. Usually they don't even protest. They move. that's a middle-class riot. You know, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to someplace that's safer, that works better, where the schools are functional.
And is there any bigger indictment of this model of governance than the fact that you have people making not an inconsequential decision to pull up stakes and leave. I mean, that's the biggest indictment one individual can offer against their government. I'm leaving because of the government here in Chicago, in L.A., in New York, in Seattle, in Portland, and elsewhere.
Well, and the problem is what you've had, this is, it's kind of an interactive process. Middle-class couples and families, and by the way, of any race, mm-hmm. Leave. They go to the suburbs or they move to another area. A, the population left behind, like I spent some time in the south side of Chicago last year. You know, what they kept saying is that everybody who succeeds, basically, you know, many of them leave. That's just what happens. And who stays in the city? You basically have the hipsters, you know, who don't have families or going through whatever psychodrama they're doing in their lives, as we all did at that age. And then you have the very poor, and then you have the very rich who can buy themselves out of, you know, your Gold Coast resident who can be very liberal because, you know, they don't send their kids to public school.
Well, this is it, and this is what middle-income families are figuring out, those that are leaving, which is a lot of them, right, is that so much of the policy is being driven by these champagne socialists. And basically, when you say defund the police, you're saying I'm rich. When you say keep the schools closed, you're saying I'm rich. When you say keep the businesses closed, you're saying I'm rich. I'm insulated from the consequences of all these decisions. I don't much care about the decisions, about the impact of the decisions on, you know, the yeomanry, as you would describe it, because they're not really the constituency I'm feel guilty about trying to serve in this ham-handed way I'm trying to do it, this ineffectual way that I'm trying to do it as per the performance of these cities. So, and this is how you have this hollowing out of the middle. And if you have a hollowing out of the middle of anything, eventually it topples.
Well, and the part of the problem is that and this is part of the dangers of this sort of feudalization, which is most intense in a lot of these urban areas, is there's no group of, you know, historically, it's been the middle class, it's been the small property owner, the small business owner, who kind of held things together, you know, the great and left-wing political scientist Barrington Moore said, no bourgeois, no democracy. Mm. Once you don't have a class of small property owners who can say, hey, this is going too far, we can't go this way. You know, even if you think about a system like the traditional system in Chicago, you know, which obviously is renowned for its corruption and all that, but at least small business person had some influence with their aldermen, or, you know, there would be, and there was a structure of, if the public schools didn't work, there was a very healthy structure of Catholic schools that were an alternative, that was an affordable alternative. Now, those things are all being hollowed out, and so there's no restraint.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but in addition to that, just continuing with your feudalism metaphor, what you have then is, if you're going to stay, then you are going to be made subservient to the government, because everything is scrambled to maintain exactly the position the government currently has, and in some respects expand on it. But I mean, there are no government layoffs. There are no government furloughs. There are no government closures in terms of, yeah, maybe buildings, but not in terms of personnel or people's livelihoods. And whatever it takes, whatever taxes must be imposed, what services cut to extract from those yeomanry types, the serfs, I would say, in the modern era, that's exactly what they'll do. That is what the indication is from all of these big city mayors.
Well, and if you think about the L.A. Unified School District, for instance, they're going to go all online. And
right,
they can only work certain numbers of hours, and they don't have to do Zoom meetings. And they, you know, and yet we're going to pay them full time. I mean, okay, if you're only going to work half time, then you should be paid half time. That's what happens to normal human beings in the real world. But in the world of our government bureaucracies and the unions who dominate the politics, it's basically, you know, we're going to get as much as we can no matter what, and you know whether you can afford it or not. And so you know what's happening is that you're going to see huge drives for tax increases. I think that's coming. All sorts of regulatory rules, like you know we have people even proposing that you could have squatters' rights, where you know somebody can occupy, let's say, an apartment that maybe is temporarily vacant, and you can't get rid of them. Or you're going to impose really strict rent control. Look, I think the rents are out of control. There are other ways of dealing with it. You'll have rent control. You'll have people beginning to allow buildings to fall apart. And again, the crime issue is, I think, absolutely paramount. And you know, unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember when New York City, for instance, was a really dangerous place.
Right.
I remember as a kid going out of Penn Station and looking around, you know, making sure that there wasn't somebody, you know, sneaking up on me. You know, I had my aunts who were beaten up and robbed in broad daylight in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, this is not that long ago.
Joel Kotkin, Presidential Fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman University, ED of the Urban Reform Institute, and author of the must-read book, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism. Joel, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.